we go. Hour number two. Jordan Maxwell, my guest tonight, one of the world's most prominent scholars in the field of astrotheology, complete study of the religio-political network that controls so much of the world, secret societies, occult societies, to be more specific. The whole thing is covered in Jordan's venue. We'll be talking about much of that tonight. Let's go to the phones now after that rousing story about Jordan Maxwell's UFO experience. All right, Jordan.
All right, before we do that, I have something. I think I would like to tell you a couple of other experiences that I've had. We can go to the phones for a few calls and then come back. I'd like to tell you a couple of other experiences that I've had tonight. Since we're going to be since we've talked about experiences, I got a few others.
I bet you have. All right, we shall do so. Let us take a couple calls.
Okay.
George, thank you for being patient, calling in from Spokane, listening to us on KSBN. Hi, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Maxwell?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was wondering if you might know anything about in Revelations, who might be the one that's carrying the supposedly 666?
Do you have any idea who that could be? Yeah, that 666 you're talking about in the book of Revelation?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, there I have at least a dozen photocopied reference works dealing with that one subject, and each one is different. Each one comes comes up with the 666 for a different reason. And so consequently, it's a very subjective subject. The one that I tend to feel the best with is that in the Greek, the explanation I think is the best, is that in the Greek language, there is a term, let's see, what is the name of that? It's what's the Greek word? Anyway, I can't remember right now. But the Greek word in that means human degradation, or human, the lowest morals, the lowest integrity, the lowest morals a person can obtain to when you are totally without anything redeemable, that condition in the human is a Greek word which has a numerical equivalency. I just thought of it. Hephrams. Hmm. Hephrams in Greek. Hephrams, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, Hephrams in the Greek language means the most desperate, darkest part of the human mind and the human being as Hephrams, and consequently the numerical equivalency of that word Hephrams in Greek comes out to 666, so that the beast of Revelation, according to the ancients, according to the original understanding of the book of Revelation, the beast of Revelation is you. We, each one, are a beast. And consequently, the 666 is the number of a man because it is the number of the most defiled part of us all. We are all capable of a very vile lifestyle.
Yeah, all you got to do is read the newspaper.
Absolutely. And so consequently, the great war of Harmageddon, or Armageddon, is the last great war in you, inside of you. Before you die and leave this world, you are Hephrams in the Greek, or 666, and you are the beast, the beast that is in you. And consequently, the last great war is Harmageddon, or Armageddon is the last great war inside of you. Like the Apostle Paul said, there is a war inside our members, and the Hebrew word for that was Armageddon or Harmageddon. So there is, in point of fact, no big, enormous, end-of-the-world scenario. It's a misunderstanding. The last great war with 666 is in you. And consequently, yes, I understand. I'm thoroughly well aware of all of the new technology that is using the 666, and I think that there is a definite connection why the book of Revelation used that number and why it's being used today in high technology.
Huh.
It's but that, to me, would indicate that there's a definite connection between the spirit world and the material world. Hmm. But the 666 was not a beast or a political thing. It is you. We are individually the beast.
Huh.
Huh. And consequently, the last great war is the war between good and evil in each one of us.
How interesting. Now, you see, that takes a 180 degrees off the normal marketed and merchandised line of Armageddon and 666. People are seemingly eking out pretty substantial ego livings by corrupting what is, in fact, historical reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never thought of it that way either.
Yeah, but that's what the word Hebrews, because in numerology, the numerology seems to only work in Hebrew and Greek, and numerology is where you assign a particular number to every letter in the alphabet of the Greek and Hebrew. Then when you write your name down, you can add up the numbers, and each one of the numbers, each number is assigned a particular, translation or an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take that one word, which means the most desperate evil part of all of us, that dark, sinister, evil part that we're all capable of, but hopefully we're all trying to rise above, but that animalistic instinct in all of us is in the Greek Hephrams, and the numerical equivalent of Hephrams is 666.
Very interesting.
And consequently, it's interesting also that the Bible says, the book of Revelation says that it is a number of man. It's the man's number. Well, actually, six in Latin is spelled S-E-X, sex. Sex is actually six in Latin. Hmm. So it is a number of a man. And it's a fascinating study of numerology and hidden or occult or hidden implication of words and terms in the New Testament and in the Old Testament.
Anything else, George?
No, just to let you know, I'm in the listening radio here in Spokane. I keep it on the station quite a bit during the day. I don't even turn on the TV, so.
Well, good for you.
You haven't missed much, I can guarantee you.
Yeah, I learn more right here anyway.
Thank you.
Well, Ms. Maxwell, I want to buy some of your books and stuff, too, from you.
Oh, yes. Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, you bet you, sir.
Any
support? You really helped me out. I never understood that very well.
Well, I've got a lot of good material for you.
Well, good. All right. I want to get your address later from the show. And
we will.
Okay. And I want to be able to buy some from you.
Thank you very much for your time and your courtesy.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, let me give a number that anyone can call 24 hours a day. And there's a little message on there about my new video. I've got a new video and a new book. The book is astounding. The book and the video I have termed the same. I have the same title.
Mm-hmm.
I call the book and the video. It's a 90-minute video and a 396-page book. They're both entitled Symbols, Sex, and the Stars. And what they the 90-minute video and the book go together. You really need to get them together.
Mm-hmm.
The 90-minute video is all of the ancient occultism, sex, mysticism that is in our modern-day religions that we don't even know. Now, many good Christian writers have written on the subject that there is a lot of pagantry in the church, etc. And we're told in those scriptures, the Apostle Paul even said that the only correct way to worship God in a clean and undefiled way is to worship in spirit and truth. Well, I would say to my Christian friends listening that if that be true, if the divine force of the universe that we call God, if that divine one only wishes to have his worship in spirit and truth, then I would suggest you need to get the video and my book, because you're going to find that an awful lot of things which we are believing in Western civilization's religion are directly connected to occult or hidden. The word occult is merely a Latin word meaning hidden.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much trickery which has been hidden in theology in the Western world that it's just astounding.
And again, this does not discount the spirituality of it all.
Oh, heavens, no. We're not talking about the spirituality. I have a very high regard for the divine and for spirituality. I'm talking about if you're concerned about keeping your worship or your relationship with the divine pure and clean and honorable, then you have a very great need to know the things which have been cleverly hidden behind the scenes that you don't know, that you are accepting and you think are good, but which aren't. And I've done 40 years of this. And so
tremendous amount of manipulation, of nefarious corruption of reality to
profound.
Subvert, control, and subject people to the wishes and will of a dogma that has been created by a relatively few for their own ends. I mean,
Absolutely. This
has nothing to do with spirituality.
No.
Mr. Maxwell has been, of course, over the years, violently assaulted by various other, quote, scholars for his research. And his research stands on its own. It's remarkable. So, again, the 396-page book, the 90-minute videotape.
And the 90-minute videotape, you can get them separately. Each one is $25 plus $5 postage and handling, $30 for either the book or the video, or $55 for both. And that will go to my nonprofit organization. I have a nonprofit tax-free organization which supports my work. And believe me, that's very, very difficult, doing the kind of thing I do, which is not readily and jumped on and loved by everyone, because I'm talking about some very controversial things.
All right, it's Symbols, Sex, and the Stars.
Symbols, Sex, and the Stars, a 90-minute video and a new book and 396-page book. You can call anytime, 818 area code, 818, which is in Los Angeles, 757-0814. And let me give it again. 818-757-0814.
And is that 24 hours, Jordan?
24 hours.
Okay, that's 818-757-0814. Either the book or the video, $25 plus $5 each, or both for $55. You won't find us anywhere else. Be right back. Okay, here we go with Jordan Maxwell tonight. Once again, the phone number for Jordan's book and video, 818-757-0814. A 396-page book, a new one, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, and a 90-minute video, also $25 plus $5, or both for $55 total, entitled Symbols, Sex, and the Stars.
And let me say at this point that when you call that number, you will merely get a short message from me advertising what you've just heard. So if you want to check the address and phone number, et cetera, call that number and you'll have all the information. However, if you wish to send a cash check or money order, it will be tax deductible because this is a nonprofit organization you'll be sending the check to. And let me give you an address. It's in Tarzana, California. The address, and you need to make the check or money order out to BBC of A, BBC of A, and that's the organization, and it's 19528, that's 19528, Ventura Boulevard, V-E-N-T-U-R-A, Ventura Boulevard, Suite 449. Wait, 449, and that's Tarzana, T-A-R-Z-A-N-A, Tarzana, California, 91356.
Okay.
And you can call and get the message and or just order the tape and the video together for $55, as I said, because you really need both, because the video is a profound expose that a lot of people are going to find hard to deal with, because so much that we have accepted as being good, and we weeded out all the bad. No, we haven't. There's a lot of things that are neatly tucked away in Western religion that we do not realize the implications of the symbols, where the words and terms come from. It's an extraordinary subject.
And any of you who have been with us before know that Jordan has explained in great detail the symbols that we see all the time, from those on our paper currency to on our buildings, our actual monuments in Washington, what they mean, where they were built, why they were built, where they were built, who built them, who did the planning. This is probably not a video that would do too well in most church congregations with the minister present. However, in small groups outside that venue, it would do nothing but create tremendous intellectual interest and raise some very valid and proper questions. That's what I hear over and over again from people who have seen these videos.
Well,
you're welcome. Let's go back to the phones up to Victoria, British Columbia, beautiful B.C., and Tim is calling in, listening to us on KRKO. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's always a pleasure, gentlemen, to hear another scholar who, at personal risk to himself, is willing to subvert the dominant paradigm.
Thank you.
Well said.
I did have one question regarding your experiences. Myself, I've never had an experience, although I would like to have several conscious experiences of something of that nature.
Me too, Tim.
Yeah. Is there a prayerful or meditative state that one could put yourself into in order to make these beings?
Well, let me answer this way, and I think that's a very valid question. I don't suggest doing anything like that at all. That's my point of view, because my feeling is that if God is going, and this is very plain and simple, but I believe that if God or the divine force in the universe, whatever you wish to call it, if God is going to do something, you can't stop it. And if he's not going to do something, then you can't make it. And so consequently, I feel that if you're supposed to have an experience for whatever reason, that is to be decided by a higher power than you.
So someone who knows a bit more than me.
Say this again?
Someone who may know a little bit more than I do.
Yes, absolutely. And when and it's like when the king gets ready to talk to you, he'll let you know. And if he hasn't called you, don't worry about it. He'll let you know if he needs you.
No, as we all well know, there are people who claim to be able to meditatively call forth these visits, and that is another area of this endeavor that we're engaged in that has always been a little troublesome.
Well, yes, but you see, I feel very compelled to say that if you're going to condemn that kind of thing, then you must condemn the Apostle Paul, you must condemn the early Christians and the prophets of Israel who would go out and pray in the wilderness to God and would have a vision like Ezekiel, Daniel, Hezekiah, all of these different ancient
Elijah.
Prophets, all of the different people who, holy people of the Bible, they would go out, they would sit in the garden at night and pray to God and have a profound experience. And then we're told that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that happened. It was a wonderful and holy thing that happened. However, if you do it, you're obviously worshiping the devil. I said, no, there's something wrong with this mentality that says if the divine one of the universe does something profound in a person's life, it must be the devil. I'm saying, as the angel told Peter, you had better not call down evil upon something God has cleansed. You don't know for sure that something is of the devil and evil. It would be wise for you to keep your mouth shut and not immediately attribute something to the devil that might in fact be God, because we're told in Scripture that there would come a time when even good people would put to death their fellow man thinking they're doing it for God.
Yes.
So consequently, I have a very high respect for the Spirit and for things which happen, and I'm not totally sure that it's all evil. I think that God is still in control and still can deal with individuals or nations and peoples. So unless you understand and know something for sure, it's better to, you know, to reserve any negative comment.
It is, as I said, a troublesome thing, though, for people to deal with. They do have to categorize it.
And put it in a box.
Exactly. That's why it's difficult for some. Okay, be right back with Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Hang on there, Tim, and we'll be back to you as well in just a couple minutes here at Sightings on the Radio. All right, here we go with Jordan Maxwell. And Tim, are you still on the line there?
Yes, I am.
Good. One more question, please.
Does Mr. Maxwell have a website?
You know I do, but I don't know what it is because my person who's handling that for me is still working on it.
Okay.
I don't have one at the moment. But if
can
you
I have
call
a fax number?
Say it again.
A fax number?
Yes. A fax number is 818-757-1092. 757-1092.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for calling. Thanks for listening in.
Great to have someone from B.C. Calling.
I would again say quickly that the Apostle Paul said to some that he was talking to, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" This is something that which has happened so often in the world of theology and religion, because someone is trying to tell you something that is different than that which you are used to hearing, immediately you put that individual in a box. But I'm saying this is a very unsafe course of action. I think it would be far wiser to just listen and find out that possibly the person talking to you may know something that you don't know. Give it an opportunity to be heard.
And boy, the human ego, my goodness.
Absolutely.
What a filter. All right. Yeah, the idea of putting him in a box, that's where the expression kill the messenger, put him literally in a box, I guess, also could be drawn from. Pete in Portland is listening to us on KOTK. Hello, Pete. Welcome to the program, and your question, please, for Jordan.
Well, good evening, Jeff and Jordan.
Hi.
Hello there.
I thought that David Icke was particularly piercing in perspective until I heard of you, Mr. Maxwell, on Jeff's show.
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, David Icke, incidentally, was working out of my office. I gave him an office in San Diego and helped his people to promote David Icke. I know David real well.
No wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder. I have a question for you, and it may sound like it's out of left field, but it's not.
Well, I may not be able to answer it either.
All right. Four symbols that we find on our playing cards, the spade, the heart,
yes,
the diamond, and the club.
Yes.
All right, I have found a mathematical relationship between them.
Uh-huh.
Very strange. And now, I went, of course, to the library and started reading anything I could find about the suits.
Yes.
And supposedly these playing cards that we've all toyed around with and have been used in scientific experiments on probability and so forth, they were distributed at the same time that Romani gypsies were traveling, I guess, from the 11th to 13th century out of the East through Europe.
Yes, and it was based on the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But not exactly coincident with it.
No, not at all.
And there seems to be, it seems that they made a choice to keep one and distribute the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, I've found a mathematical relationship between the four suits. And I think I know what they represent, but I want to hear from you if you have anything on them.
All right, I do. I have found a profoundly interesting reference book on the ancient tarot and the ancient cards and how we got our modern day deck,
mm-hmm,
and the symbols and where they came from. I would like to have you contact me and or fax me and let me know where I can get back to you, and I will give you over the phone the name of the book and where to find it.
Good.
I would prefer not going into the subject myself, but I do have a sensational reference work on that one subject that you need to know, and I can get it for you. As a matter of fact, I will get it for you and contact you, and then you can get it from me, because I know exactly what you need. I know the book.
Can I tell you why I was put on this trail?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There was a certain radio show that had an interview with a Mr. Adair, who was a young rocket genius.
Yes, and he was in my office,
three weeks ago. Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Now, he told of an adventure out at Area 51, mm-hmm, where he was introduced, let me put it that way, to an interstellar engine that was a living creature,
uh-huh,
wounded, and he examined it and so on and so forth. The thing that struck me was that he also described a piece of material from the supposedly the same craft this engine came from, and it had symbols inscribed upon it, and there were many different symbols, but apparently these four, or some of these four, were inscribed there also.
Uh-huh.
And that put me into various basic questions, and one of them was, the first thing you ask yourself is, how can a spaceship that left its home, let's say, thousands of years ago in order to get here, as Einstein would have it, how can it have those symbols on it? But even a better question to be asked is, how did those same symbols get onto our favorite nursery toys?
Yes.
The cards.
This is a very favorite subject of mine. This is one of my most favorite subjects, is how do we get the modern-day emblems and symbols which we now have, which can be traced back to the ancient Sumerians, Proto-Sumerians, Proto-Egyptians, into the most ancient world, and I actually can trace it back like 7 to 10,000 years ago. These same symbols and emblems, which we now accept as modern day, have been around for that long and probably a lot, lot longer. Where did they come from? Why are they being used?
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications of these symbols and emblems? This is the kind of thing I was talking about originally when I said to the Christians in the audience that if you think that your understanding of your religion is clean and undefiled before God, you had better go back and trace the lineages of where concepts and ideas have come from, and you will be astounded to find that so many of the symbols and emblems that we accept today come from a very, very ancient and prehistoric source. And that becomes very interesting. Who was here thousands and thousands of years ago? Well, we're told that angels were here. Well, what is an angel? An angel is a messenger of God. Well, where do angels come from? Well, any good Christian will tell you. They'll point up, straight up, and say they come from out there. And again, I would say out there, then they're extraterrestrial. They're not from here. This is a very important subject, I believe, for the time in which we're living. Just because something is coming from out there does not necessarily necessitate that it's going to be evil or bad. And this is a classic example of what you just brought up about the symbols on the card. There is an entire world of knowledge wrapped up in playing cards, why those different suits are, why they're four. And it's particularly fascinating to me, why is the ace the highest card in the deck? Once you understand the occult or the hidden significance in cards, you will begin to appreciate this is everywhere in religion. There are all sorts of things that we've not been told. And that's why I've spent 40 years of my life in this subject, trying desperately to get the attention of people to look at some of this kind of material.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Coming up on a break, Pete, if you'd like to hang on, we'll get one more question from you after the break with Mr. Jordan Maxwell tonight. Once again, the phone number to order Jordan's book and video, 818-757-0814. 818-757-0814. Be right back in about 3 minutes. Okay, we are back, and Pete, one more question.
Well, not so much a question, because
that
would take all show, but it'll be one statement.
Sure.
And that's probably something that I'm not sure that Joseph Campbell ever said it, or maybe he kept it hidden, and that is that mythology and legends are not just exaggerated stories about people who once were or fictional stories about people who never were, but I honestly believe they are often prophetic dreams about people who are yet to come. Good night.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night, Pete. Thanks very much for calling.
I think that there is something to that. I tend to believe that there is at least a possibility that some of these entities, creatures of mythology, may possibly have actually been in existence, and that some of the strange creatures that we read about in mythology might not be mythological creatures, symbolic of something. They very well may have been on the earth. I've seen and experienced too much. I've been too many places and heard too many stories of things which are astounding to me to discount the possibility that maybe some of the things that the ancient people said they saw, maybe they did see them. Maybe when the prophets of old said that they saw certain things, which like Ezekiel when he saw the circle within circles coming down over him, and it was fiery and blowing fire, and he had a tremendous experience. I think maybe he did. I think possibly he might have seen what I saw. I mean, who knows? So I think there is something to that. Not all the mythological creatures may not have been symbolic things, but maybe actually, in fact, did exist, and perhaps do even now exist.
Indeed.
I don't know.
Well, we talk about giants.
That's
right.
We have continuing reports of giants. In fact, we had a report from Barry Chamish out of Israel of a giant seen not too many months ago. An 8 or 9 foot or 10 foot giant allegedly seen at the door of a home in a small village. And they were able to track it with its footprints for several miles.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of things on this planet that we are not privy to.
Well,
yet.
I know.
And that's kind of...
That's why I was going to say I've got a couple of other experiences that have happened to me. I think that
you know what we should do? Let's do that next hour. And what we want to do is talk about St. Patrick's Day a little bit, I think, in our remaining time this hour.
Okay.
What is it and what it's about? And then we'll have a little St. Patrick's Day tribute here at the end of this hour in a few minutes. So tell us about St. Patrick's Day.
All right. Now, before I do that, let me give the address, and then if we go off, at least they have the address for anyone who might be going off at this time slot.
Sure.
If you wish to have the video and or the tape, the 90-minute video or the book, the 396-page book, you can send $30 a piece, 25 plus 5 for postage and handling, $30 a piece, or $55 for the two, and you can send the check cash money order to BBC of A. That's BBC of A. And the address is 19528 Ventura Boulevard, Ventura Boulevard, Suite 449. That's in Tarzana, California, Tarzana, California, 91356. And, of course, you can call 24 hours a day, 818-757-0814.
Very good.
Now,
okay. St. Patty's Day.
St. Patrick. Well, from what I can recall off the top of my head, being the patron saint of Ireland was probably a fictitious figure built on based on the old Roman pater, P-A-T-E-R, or patricic, something like that. I'm trying to remember exactly how it was spelled.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly, St. Patrick, the only real information we're supposed to have about St. Patrick was his own autobiography, and that was, said to have been written in the 5th century. But it did not, in fact, turn up until the 9th century. And consequently, it has been argued that Ireland was not Christian in the 5th century, nor was it Christian in the 9th century.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, it was highly unlikely that the Irish were converted even in the 12th century, because St. Bernard, I believe it was, it wrote something like that, I can't remember, I remember that St. Bernard wrote that the Irish were still given over to something he called barbarous rites, so that it became apparent to me that even in the 12th century, Christianity had not taken root yet. So it's very highly doubtful that Christianity was in Ireland in the 5th century. And as I said, his autobiography didn't even show up till 400 years later in the 9th century. So it's all rather nebulous, that. Now, but many of the stories and much of the story about St. Patrick certainly has all of the accoutrements of Druidism. He was probably dedicated to worship of the moon, as the Druids were. He was probably, if not a Druid himself, and the character came out of the Druid philosophy, out of the Druid mind. And that is really a fascinating subject. We'll have to tackle another night and do a three-hour show just on Druidism.
Well, most people know the word, but they don't know what it means.
Boy, if you understand the symbols in Druidism and the emblems and what the words and the words and terms of the Druid religion, you will see it everywhere.
Okay.
In America, over our country is Druidism.
We will do that. We're coming to a point where we're going to have to do that.
That's a profound subject.
It is indeed. What we're going to do now is coming up on a little present for all of our Irish listeners and those who celebrate St. Patrick's Day anyhow.
I do love Ireland.
It's gorgeous, and hope to get there someday. I'm part Irish, too. And the Irish, of course, hold this day very dear. every year, and it's really something. It's almost religious, I guess, for them in the larger sense, but it's a very secular day as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here is our little present coming up for our Irish friends and everyone else who pays attention to St. Patrick's Day each year.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead as dead I well may be, ye'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear, though soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. For shall sleep in peace until you come to me. My wild Irish rose, the sweetest flower that grows. Search everywhere, but none can compare with my wife.